went to throw out the trash at home.
Yeah.
And there is a possum chilling in my trash can outside.
That's pretty sweet. Did you just throw the trash on top of the possum?
I did not.
Did you scream and run away?
Dump it out on top of him. I did not scream and run away. I mean, I did, you know, obviously jump in surprise.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Well, good luck with that possum.
So I guess we got a new pet. You know, that's...
Maybe he'll be a friend with Bo. Maybe he and Bo can play
together. Bo needs a friend. If you can hear barking in the background, so if we just throw a possum in there and it's great with them.
There it is.
They're gonna be best friends.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong with a possum in your dog's crate?
Yeah, it'll be like the Disney movie, like The Fox and the Hound. Right. You know. But this is Boba and the Possum.
Sounds like a great sitcom. I'd watch Boba and the Possum.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Probably most people.
Yeah, probably not. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nasroff with me, as always, Pastor Jay Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And no Elise McCarter today. Yes.
Yep.
She's unable to join us this week on the pod. She'll be back next week. So just Pastor David and I, like, not old times, but recently
times.
Old times. Yeah. Yes. The Middle Ages of the podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Back when
we were in our 40s?
Well, you know, I was thinking more like medieval times.
Oh, okay.
You know, like those were the Middle Ages.
Right.
There was a plague.
And true. There is still that. So that's...
Yeah, so I guess, you know, well, we'll see what happens next then. So we're here back this week.
Yeah. We got some fun stuff today. I'm excited about today's topic. Yeah, I think this is
Thanksgiving.
A cool one.
Thanksgiving is this week. Do you have big Thanksgiving plans?
Does anybody have big Thanksgiving plans? If you do,
no.
Please cancel them. Please
you should.
Do us all
yeah.
a favor. Like, just, I know it sucks. I know that we all want to do the things, but come on. We all just got to deal with this for now and for the good of everybody.
Yeah. You know. It sounds like stores, they're not having Black Friday shopping, so it's like there's, you know, we're trying to limit the exposure. In Texas here, things are spiking again, but that seems to be kind of the norm everywhere.
Yeah, this does not seem to be a Texas. Texas is not unique in this adventure currently. Yeah.
Yes, but today
so,
on the pod...
No, I do not have big Thanksgiving plans, though we are trying to figure out, because our daughter is old enough that she remembers Thanksgiving's past, and so she knows that she wants, like, Thanksgiving food. And so we're, like, trying to figure out, okay, how can we do some of these Thanksgiving foods without cooking like a whole turkey and making a whole pan of mashed potatoes, and like how can we do Thanksgiving for three, or really 2.5, rather than for, you know, 8 to 10? So we're adapting some of that. We'll figure it out. It'll be fun.
You get some deli meat, you're fine.
Yeah, that's definitely the same thing. Yep. Just pour some gravy on that deli meat, honey. It'll be delicious.
You know, yeah, it works. Oh yeah, today we're gonna talk a little about prophets and prophecy. Yes. But before we get there, I've got some news for us.
Excellent.
Yeah. You have a pet. I have three pets.
I have Elise one. Also I have a one pet at a time rule in my house. Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, it's not like I've really had to hard and fast enforce this rule, but that's like my standard. Like, we have a pet. That is all we need. And when this pet goes on to wherever pets go after they die, then we can talk about another pet.
Greener pastures.
Sure.
All right, well, this
is... Softer pillows in Rhapsody's case.
Here we are. News from the UK. Our friends across the pond.
Yeah.
Yes. Woman spends thousands on vet for a farting dog.
Nice. To try to, what, get the dog to stop farting? Or she thought something was wrong and it was just gas? Or what was happening here?
Let me ask you, does Rhapsody have a gas problem?
Not that I'm aware of, but he and I have a very strict, I clean his litter box and he stays away from me policy. So, that's our MO.
Yes. Yeah, she's pregnant and she's eating dinner with her husband, and all of a sudden a putrid smell came into their kitchen. They both made faces of, oh, can you believe what is that? And they thought the only culprit could be the dog.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this lasted a few weeks and she is very sensitive to smells because she's pregnant, you know, and so she says it smells like rotten eggs, and she could not be even near the dog. Pooch Jerry changed the, you know, the food. That's a natural, you know, what you would do, right?
Sure. Change diet. Yep. Good first step.
Yes. Yes, in order to several expensive tests from the vet to figure out what is wrong with her pooch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't know if Bo has not experienced really bad flatulence yet.
I would have loved this story to take the turn where it was actually the husband blaming it on the dog, and like they spent thousands on these tests all for the husband to keep up this ruse that it was the dog and not him that was actually flatulent in this way.
Well, guess what?
Am I right? Wasn't the husband all along?
All tests show that the dog was fine. And for this existed for 5 weeks. And then the husband confessed that it was him.
I love every, I mean, I'm really first thankful that this is not my relationship, but I love that this husband was just like, no, no, it's definitely the dog. And we're going to spend thousands of dollars for me not to have to fess up to the fact that this was me. That's great.
I know. 5 weeks. Yeah, he can finally confessed. She was furious.
Sure.
Kicked him out of the house for a period of mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. and said, I don't know what was doing. He went to the vet appointments with her. They spent thousands of dollars on this poor wife confused and then finally confessed. How would your wife respond?
Well, did the wife not notice that the dog only had really bad gas when the husband was around? Did the dog,
I don't know. Look,
right. It's quarantine time, so maybe they're all together all the time.
Yeah, sure.
How would my wife react to this? She would not be I mean, we have a, you know, we don't like to lie to each other, at least certainly not intentionally. And I think lying to the tune of a couple thousand dollars, particularly over flatulence, would not be appreciated. That would not go well in the Bowser house.
Sure.
I don't imagine Kat would be cool with that.
Oh, heck no. I wouldn't be cool with that. Look, a stinky toot is, you know, like one thing to blame it on the dog once and be like, man, that dog, right, everybody? Right. You know, but once it reaches the point where, like, we're going to go get this dog tested, I think that's when the jig is up. Because what's going to happen. Like, at that point, the husband has to realize they're not going to find anything.
Right.
We're going to spend all this money. What happens then? You know, like
someone
how
had
long
to think
can
this
you,
through.
How long can you keep this up? So she says she had a full-on panic attack about it and told him he has to pay her back half the vet bills out of his savings / fun money, which is, okay, I have questions already.
Yeah.
and he agreed, but isn't really happy about it. Okay, I don't know what leg this guy is trying to stand on.
Yeah, this guy has no ground. I don't understand why he's paying back his wife. I don't know. Maybe bank accounts work differently in the UK, or different people have different things. But I don't know. There would be no paying back because it would have been out of our savings. Like I don't. So that would be an odd thing
for us too.
But I definitely would be not. I would be in a proverbial doghouse for a while. I'd be in trouble. Yeah.
Sure. Even if they do have that set up where they have different savings accounts, different checking accounts, my thought is like, husband, you're paying all those vet bills, not half.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You knew I was taking them. You went with me. You're paying those bills.
Yeah.
Out of your own fun money, whatever that means. You know, like, and he's unhappy about it. Guess what? Like, I would have been unhappy with the last 5 weeks. Yeah. Poor dog. This dog is getting its blood work done.
Which
probably...
Think
you
of
know,
the stories they get to tell their kid now. I mean, their kid gets to be born. They'd be like, oh, do you remember when little Janie whatever was, you know, before you were born and your mom and I got into this great argument where I pretended the dog had terrible flatulence and wasted thousands of dollars.
And that's
a great story to tell.
You don't have a college fund.
That's right.
Because we blew it all on
dog
useless
tests.
On useless vet bills for dog farting.
Yeah. Right, even if it was the dog, I'm not sure that I would go to the lengths of being like, we should get this checked out at the vet. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I don't have enough about it. I'm just like, that's. There are other people who would love that stinky dog. You know, let someone who loves that stinky dog have that stinky dog.
Sure.
Oh, that would have been real terrible if the wife had like gone so far as to like give the dog
away. Sure.
And the husband kept up the ruse, and then the smell was still there when the dog was gone.
Yeah, what's your plan then? You blame it on the dog. The dog is now gone. Who's left to blame it on?
Oh, man, it must be in the drywall, honey. It's just, we're going to have to
move. I think it's the baby, probably, you know? That baby's got a lot of gas in utero. Like,
Been known to happen, yeah.
Yeah. All right, there you go. There's the news of the week.
I feel informed.
Of our flatulent dog. All right, so our news story comes to us from Christianity Today. Our main news, when political prophecies don't come to pass.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this is not from this article here from Christianity Today, but I read this the other day. Are you familiar with Bethel Church?
I don't think I'm specifically familiar, so give me a little more framework, and maybe I'll be able to say yes or no.
You might be familiar with Bethel, the music group. They're like a praise and worship band.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yes, they're familiar with Bethel Church in Redding, California. It's a massive mega church. I think I read that 10% of all of Redding goes to that one church. So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
So,
even if it's like a small town, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge amount in one congregated in one place. They're also weird, you know, for our fellow Christians. They have their own theological seminary called the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Awesome.
Which I would say I'm ready to go. Yeah. Like, do you get a wand? How does that work?
This definitely sounds like Hogwarts of supernatural witchcraft and wizardry there. Yeah, I like it.
I'm ready. Yeah, send me up to go get a wand to learn how to do magic to fight demons. That sounds interesting.
I'm in.
Intrigued.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Maybe we should start a Lord of Life school for a supernatural ministry. Maybe there's an untapped market here in the Woodlands for that.
Maybe kids are interested in the supernatural. Yeah.
People would be really disappointed in my lack of supernatural powers.
Probably, unfortunately. Yeah.
What's your superpower? Talking on a podcast.
Yes.
Laughing at my own jokes, is that a superpower?
I think that's pretty supernatural.
Thank you.
That someone would laugh at those jokes is supernatural. But got him. Yes. All right. Well, anyway, one of their pastors prophesized before the 2020 election that Donald Trump would win.
Mm-hmm.
Like many other Christian charismatic prophets out there. And in this article, it kind of details a few others that go out there that says, without question, Trump would win, including televangelist Pat Robertson.
Ooh, Pat's back.
Yeah, he's I don't know if he ever left.
He hasn't been in the news lately.
Yeah, he's kind of doing his own thing with like the 700 Club or whatever. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's been a while since he's said that a hurricane was God's wrath against homosexuals. So, you know, he's been out of the...
But there's always been like a fringe group that's always prophesying about what's going to happen in politics. So several of them. So this woman, what happens when you prophesy Donald Trump is going to win the election?
Uh-oh.
And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's
a question.
Well, that's the thing. So she put out an apology video on her Instagram.
Okay.
Saying she does not think this means she's a false prophet.
Okay.
But she understands some of her credibility has been tarnished.
All right.
But then she took down the apology video.
Cool. All right.
Because hoping, I guess, maybe Trump is President Trump is filing quite a lot of lawsuits. It seems, from my perspective, not a lot of them are going anywhere. But to try to allege that there's shenanigans with the election, and maybe he's going to become president anyway, despite what it looks like currently. So she said. She's going to hold off on her apology video until to see what happens.
Right. Okay. I've got a lot of questions.
I'm not sure I'm the man to answer those questions, but we'll do our best here. What do we got?
Okay. So number one, these are people who declare themselves to be prophets and so are they, are they like declaring things like daily? Like, okay, I don't know how they're declaring their prophecy. Like, are they just making big, bold statements and sometimes they come true and sometimes they don't? Or have they a track record of identifying things that are happening and coming to pass? Have they a degree from Hogwarts School of Supernatural Powers? Or, sorry, that's not right. What was it? Bethel?
Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Right. Okay. So much better. Like, you get a degree from that and now you're a prophet. Like, what's our...
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to go ahead and just establish that when we're referring to prophets in the modern age, we're using that term loosely. Is that fair?
I think so.
At least in my understanding of how prophecy works.
I think that's a fair account here. I think most of our modern day prophets are one self-appointed. And I don't know if there's anybody out there with a strong track record of prophecy. And it seems like most of them too really want to prophesy about American politics. Like that's kind of when.
And stuff that they agree with.
Probably. I think so too. That most of them are like, I want this to happen and I'm speaking it to existence. Maybe it's kind of like that book, The Secret, that was popular a few years ago, where you speak right. it to existence and it's supposed to come true. Yeah, so sure. maybe this is.
Maybe that's a skill you learn at Bethel School of Supernatural yeah. Ministry. Yeah.
Maybe you could major in that. I don't know.
Major in speaking things into existence. Yeah, I feel like if somebody had come to them, you know, what was the woman's name?
I don't know her name. Yeah.
Okay, so
I don't know it offhand. Yeah,
that's fine. If this woman, if someone came up to her and said, you know, I heard you say that you are prophesying in the name of God that President Trump was going to win re-election. If they came up and said, I heard in a vision from God that President Biden was going to win this, or that Vice President Biden was going to be elected and become president. Yeah. What do you do with that information? Like, I just don't know where they set themselves up to go when they designate themselves with this mantle of, this is not how prophecy was intended to work in scripture. And in my experience, it is not how prophecy works with people who genuinely have this gift. As a Lutheran, right, I tend to throw a lot of this stuff, kind of say like, okay, we don't get that and it's different and whatever. But I genuinely believe there are people who have the gift of prophecy. I've met people. I have long relationships with people who have this gift. This is not how it works, right? Yes. And they will tell you like, prophecy does not come to me in the sense of I know who's going to win an election, or I know that, you know, prophecy comes to me in like senses about people and understanding of where people's stories are going and where they're pointing. And like, it's a very different experience than what's painted of, oh, well, I see, you know, Johnny Carson doing the what's in the envelope thing. Like, I know what's happening here and I know what's coming next.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think, obviously, as Lutheran, I think we've touched on this before. Like, our connection as a church body to, like, the Holy Spirit and, you want to say, spiritual gifts or spiritual understanding of the world is limited compared to, I think, other Protestant sure. backgrounds, especially compared to like a charismatic background. They're going to have a much more greater emphasis on prophecy, healing, tongues, these things that are Holy Spirit or, you know, through the power of the Spirit. So we can say that's not something that we as a church body discuss often or really invest a lot of time into or understanding into, but that doesn't mean that we as Lutherans are against the idea of prophecy. In fact, many of the books that we read in scripture are written by prophets. I mean, people who are literally speaking, these are the things that will happen to the future. And some of it is meant to be fairly straightforward of, you guys are doing X, that means Y is going to happen. And that's just the way it is. Some of it is warnings to nations and to kings. And some of it is probably hard to understand for both the prophet and the people that are hearing it, right. That they're not quite sure what this means, what God intends for this to be. And some of it can't fully be understood until you're looking backwards at it. And I think in the New Testament, the biblical writers will take a lot of these Old Testament things that for their initial readers would have no idea what these means, but they, looking backwards, are using that to point to Jesus, their current
yeah.
era.
Yeah.
So to say, like, you know, there's one way prophecy works is probably not correct in the Old Testament. We can definitely point to, there are ways we can see from Scripture prophecy does not work. It's not like, voodoo here, or going to, like, get a tarot reading. That's not really what it's supposed to look like.
Right. I think, too, you know, we've talked a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how in comedy you always want to punch up, right? That you're kind of aiming yeah. at the people above you and pointing out their flaws. I think that's where prophecy in biblical patterns goes as well, right? There, I don't recall a prophecy that comes out to say, oh, well, this is going to continue on the way it's been because this guy's great and we're going to keep this going. No, prophets come because something is wrong and because something needs to change. And so they come and speak a word of you know, call for repentance, you know, like Jonah being sent to Nineveh, or they call and warn of God's coming, coming destruction coming through, you know, Babylon that's going to exile Israel if they continue on this path. And so, you know, to stand up and say like, oh, well, God told me that this leader's just going to stay. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel, it feels icky. It feels like we're taking God and making God into our understanding of the world. And that is always dangerous, but it's particularly dangerous when we then say, oh, well, God told me this. Because it's, you can't argue with somebody when they say, God told me this. And not that we should just argue, but there's...
Sure. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Okay. What do you respect? What do you say to that? How do you respond? How do we enter into that as a community? How do I enter it? Like, because we all talk about, and I take this seriously, right? I feel like I have a call to ministry. I feel like that's a call from God that God, you know, gave me points in my life where people were speaking this to me, where I was sensing it within myself. But there's no point in my ministry or in my life when I can recall hearing God's voice. I don't know what God sounds like. I don't know, but I know that I'm doing the thing that I'm supposed to be. And so I don't know. Did I hear, do I get to stand up now and say, well, I had a prophecy that I was going to be a pastor? Like, no, I had a call to ministry. And I don't know. This is, it just feels icky, Patrick.
I agree. I think especially weird because, again, a lot of it is so much attached to American politics. And, like, and we live in America, so it's natural we're probably going to hear about that more than any other kind of prophecies that are coming up around the world. But, yeah, I feel like it's just very bizarre. It feels, again, like very self-fulfilling of these are the things that I want, so I want God to make these things true. And I feel this inside me that I want this to happen. And so I'm speaking it out there, but what happens when it doesn't happen is really the kind of the question. Yeah. This is not, this pastor at Bethel is not the first person to say something will happen and then it doesn't happen. Yeah. In fact, over the course of my lifetime, I can say I've lived through, you know, now at this point, dozens of apocalypses. So things that were supposed to be the end of the world by a Christian group or sect saying, this is the date.
This is it.
And the date comes and goes, and nothing happened.
Here we are.
And it's easy sometimes, you know, in that self, I guess, cognitive distances to, for the people who are believing that to say, like, well, we fixed it, right? Like, we did something to postpone this and fix it.
Right.
And then they have a new date that comes and goes.
Yeah. There's a great episode of Parks and Rec where they have their own little cult in the town of Pawnee, Indiana, called the Reasonableists, and they go through the same process. And at the end of the episode, they're trying to predict the next date, and he says, "Oh, it's going to be, you know, whatever, November 19th," and they say, "Oh, well, the park is booked that day." Like, "Oh, you know what? I made a mistake. It's actually November 20th." And I just love that moment.
I've seen that episode. That is pretty funny. I think too, like, these prophecies on something that's like, it's really like a 50-50 shot, right? Going into the election, like, it was going to be President Trump or Vice President Biden. It's not
nobody
like,
came out and prophesied that Kanye was going to win, all right?
Yeah, nobody's out there being like, let me tell you something. Get ready. Hold on.
That's right.
Yeah, this unbelievable thing will happen that you cannot handle. Like, you would not be able to comprehend when it takes place. Like, it's not that shocking. Like, it's not that shocking to say, like, the incumbent president will win re-election. Happens the majority of the time there's an incumbent president.
Yeah, I heard something that there are only like 4 or 6 within the last 100 years or something that have unseated an incumbent president. Like, it's very rare that an incumbent loses an election. So, yeah, it's not a...
I think in my lifetime there's been 3, but one of those was like Jimmy Carter when I was like 1 year old. So, I mean, like, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
So, like, it's fairly rare that usually when you're in power, you usually get another term.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't look like it's going to happen in this case, but saying that that's going to happen is not really that big of a prophecy, in my opinion. I'm like, I just don't really see how that's really – God needs you to convey that to the world. For me, I'm like, but why? Like, what – how does saying that to your flock or congregation or people lead to anything? What is that supposed to do?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because prophets bring their word to point back to God, to point people back to the way they should be living in the in the covenant relationship with God, or the way that God is going to be working to restore that covenant relationship with God, right? That the purpose of the prophets is not to point to truths in the world or even events in the world. The point of the prophet is to point to God's action in the world and how we are being called back into that relationship. And so, yeah, I think, but why is a reasonable question. Like, what does President Trump winning re-election or not winning re-election have to do with God's action in the world?
Oh, 100%. You know, I just found her name. It is Chris Vallotton is the prophetess.
Chris Vallotton?
Yes. So and I am.
Is her middle name no Voldemort? Chris Voldemort Vallotton. Got it.
I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the last name correctly, but
It's probably pronounced Voldemort. That's probably it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, like this idea that
I don't intend to like completely dismiss and be rude. I just think I think the school of witchcraft and wizardry thing is funny, so I'm sorry.
The school of witchcraft and wizardry is funny.
I should back off the Hogwarts jokes. I'm sorry.
But I also think if you're like, okay, this isn't really, it has no spiritual meaning for my congregation or flock right now, whether the results of this election, let me ease your fears if you're Trump supporters and the polling was against President Trump throughout the summer and into election season. You know, maybe that was supposed to be it, to ease fears. But then you have to reconcile, like, now what do you do with that? Because mm-hmm. she says she does not think this is a false prophet. But if you say something is going to come true and then it doesn't, what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah, Jeremiah has some pretty strong words for those who say things that are or that don't come true. And he's like, you know, Jeremiah basically says, judge a prophet by their words. And if what they say happens, then they're speaking from God. And if they're not, then disregard them. Like, you shouldn't be listening to that voice anymore.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that says, like, okay, well, now every prophecy that this person might say or have should be taken with the grainiest of grains of salt. I mean, like, maybe it'll come true, maybe it won't, but like, I don't think any kind of weight should be added. And personally, I would say I did not put much weight on what Pat Robertson and the Bethel pastor had to say going into this election already. So
that's reasonable. Yeah. And you know, I don't know how they obtain their prophecy. Like, are these dreams that they're interpreting, or are these, you know, visions that they're having? But, like, you know, I don't know. We just got to be careful about this stuff, because I have dreams that, you know, I play in the NBA finals, and I don't think that that's a prophecy about what's going to happen in my life, right? You know, and I think we just have to be really aware of how we're interpreting things within the context of our desires versus God's intention for the world. Everything that we think and or hear and or dream is not inherently a vision from God. That's not how God worked.
Yeah.
Or works.
100%. And even the prophets themselves, as we look throughout Scripture, whenever we kind of touch down on a prophet's life, even they will sometimes have to take time to question what's being given to them by God to process this and what does this mean. You look at John the Baptist, who has been given information from God that Jesus is the Messiah. That in fact, the first time John sees Jesus, he says, look, there he is, the Son of God, you know, there's the Lamb, you know, and then questions that later on. It's like, was I right? Is this correct? And has to go to Jesus again and say, like, am I right on this? Like, tell me out here. Help me figure these things out, because I feel like it's true, but I want to make sure it's true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think in these supernatural places and these spiritual issues, like this kind of help me out to get to the real truth versus I would like this to be true.
Yeah.
Therefore, I want to put it out there. I don't know, you know, the Chris Vallotton's political persuasion, but I know Pat Robertson's, and that is probably a prophecy that he would like to be true, that President Trump would win re-election, not one that necessarily has been given from God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not to say that I want this to come happen or to happen or to come to pass, but I think I'd be much more apt to give credence and thought to someone who declared, I'm a prophet, and I've received vision, and, you know, everything you know is going to come crumbling down around you. Like, you know, American society as you understand it is going to come crumbling down because God needs to do a new thing. Like, as terrifying as that would be at the prospect of everything we know and hold dear coming crumbling around us, like, that's way more in line with the pattern of prophecy that we see in scripture. I'm like, ooh, that's something that we need to think about. You know, and you know, the prophets of the Bible were people who lived often on the margins. They were often not from the mainstream religious establishment or political establishment. There were people essentially standing in the streets and shouting at the White House saying, this is what God wants you to be doing. Why aren't you paying attention? I mean, the metaphorical White House in this particular stance. So, I think there's a reason that God lifts up these voices from other places, and they are not typically from the places that we would expect them to come from. And we should be aware of that, too.
Yeah, for sure. So let's take maybe as we wind down here, who's your favorite prophet in the Old Testament? Let's go to there. Who do you like? Whenever you're looking at prophecies, readings, which ones are the most interesting for you?
Yeah, you know, I love Isaiah. You can't go wrong. And I mean, there's just so much good stuff in Isaiah because, you know, it covers such a span, and it kind of carries you through the entire redemptive arc. And so it shows the part where Israel's screwing up. It shows the part where Israel's being punished and promises God's redemption. And then it shows the part where God is redeeming. And so I love the arc that happens in Isaiah. I also really love Micah. That's a classic one for me, especially when we get to, you know, do justice, love mercy. That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Isaiah's great, especially he's also pretty funny at times. Mm-hmm. Like he will do in one of the books of Isaiah, one of the chapters, he will call out idol worship that I think is actually pretty funny. Like the way he kind of phrases his stuff is I think it's pretty good. He's going to be like, look, they go out of the woods, they cut down a tree. Half of it they turn into the idol, the other half they throw in the fire. How's that spiritual? Get out of here, basically. Right. Like,
what does it even mean? Get out of here.
He's like, you could just burn that thing. It don't matter. Like, and so, like, yeah, I like Isaiah a lot. I mean, Jonah is one of my favorite books of the Bible, but, sure. You know, he's really kind of, that's more of a narrative book than it is a prophecy book.
Yeah, but I think it's an example of a prophet moving through the world. Yeah.
But we kind of get like, I think that's interesting because we kind of get like, this is the life of a prophet that we really don't kind of get of like Isaiah or Jeremiah. We don't really get kind of like, what are they up to? And we know Jeremiah doesn't have a good life.
Yeah, we get a little bit more from Jeremiah. Yeah. You know, I love Hosea because we do get a piece of that in Hosea's story too. And you know, Hosea's is such a powerful story where, you know, God basically says, here's what you're going to do, Hosea. You're going to go and you're going to marry a woman who doesn't love you. And a woman who's going to cheat on you a lot. That's what you're going to do. And that your whole marriage, your whole life is going to be a symbol and an explanation to Israel as to what they have done to me. That they're the wife in this situation, and I'm their husband that loves them and wants to continue to love them. You're going to keep being faithful to this woman, and this woman's going to keep cheating on you. And this is Hosea's story. And, like, his whole life becomes a prophecy. I'm like, oh, man, that's rough. Like, That is hard stuff to hear. It's hard to read. It's hard to imagine. Like, feel like, okay, my call is to marry this person that's cheating me all the time, so that people understand God's redemption and love better. Like, that is a tough place to come from. But it's a beautiful story in a lot of ways.
I agree. I love Hosea too. I think it's really powerful, really beautiful. In itself, you know, the narrative portion does kind of have a somewhat happy ending. I mean, of God telling Hosea, go get your wife back. Just like, I'm going to go get Israel back. I'm going to go get my people back. Like, even though this relationship did not go the way it should, we're going to stay faithful and go get our, for him, his real spouse, for God, his more of an allegorical spouse back. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a powerful, you know, allegory or analogy that is presented to us in Hosea.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. So a little bit of prophecy. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, was there anything, like, we didn't really get on the article. We just kind of went on our own tirade about prophets. And so was there anything from there that we wanted to kind of address specifically? I mean, the article brought up some interesting points, but it was...
Yeah, I think we kind of addressed it tangentially. We didn't really quote this a lot. I mean, it kind of was like, how do you know you're hearing from God? Are you just hearing your own echoes and attributing that to God? And also, like, kind of looking at, like, the biblical prophets didn't always have their stuff come true, but oftentimes it was because God was saying that judgment is delayed. Like in Jonah, he says, like, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Nineveh repents, and God says, okay, he sees action, therefore God changes, you know, what's going to happen. Most, some of the prophecies are dependent on human action. And sometimes they're just kind of saying, okay, this happened. You get a kind of a pass this season. We'll see what next season is going to look like. This prophecy is not done, but right now you've done enough to kind of hold it off in a sense. Yeah. And that happens even when the prophets will talk to like the kings of Israel and things like that, where bad things are going to happen to you. The king does enough and then says, okay, well, it might happen to your kids. We'll see how they do.
The other thing I appreciated about the article is that, I mean, one, it was written by someone who admits that they really value prophecy and the role of prophecy in our world. And so, you know, this is a critique of prophecy, not coming from you and I, who are already kind of like, eh, but from someone who really takes it really seriously. You know, their critique is centered in like, look, like when you just get out there and you spout prophecy and it doesn't come true and you don't do anything about it, or you like act like it wasn't a thing and you just, you know, recalculate and try to book the park for the next day, whatever it is, right? When you do that, you're just giving fodder for people to say that all of this Christian prophecy stuff is a bunch of hooey. And so I think we need to own our mistakes and own places where we say, okay, we didn't, you know, I thought that I genuinely thought this word from God, but it wasn't. And I'll own that. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to try to do better. Or I don't know how the prophet would think about that, but I think that's powerful. And it was a helpful critique for me to hear from someone in that culture. Because it's not my culture. It's not something I don't stay awake at night thinking, well, what is God going to prophesy through me tomorrow? I also think there's a valuable distinction between speaking prophetically and offering prophecy. And this is maybe a distinction that only matters to pastors, but I think it's worth us thinking, right? I often, as a pastor, point to what I believe to be the promised reality of God. Mm-hmm. We lift up these visions that we see in Revelation, that we see in Isaiah, that we see throughout Scripture, and we point to, this is what God is going to do. And we call that speaking prophetically. I am not in that moment prophesying. I'm lifting up the prophecies that have come before. I'm lifting up, you know, this promise that God is going to be acting in that. But I just wanted to be clear that in our understanding, particularly Lutherans, but in our understanding, that is not me acting as a prophet. That is not me claiming to have the gift of prophecy. That is me trying to speak using the words of prophets before me. And that's a very different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with kind of what you're saying about the, it's refreshing to hear from a charismatic Christian. This is kind of how they approach the prophecy, because I'm like, hey, it's not in my world. It's not something I grew up in. It's not something I didn't go. I never went to church and we had like prophecy time, you know, like in some Christian sects have that.
Yep.
Where like that's part of their worship. That's part of their understanding of like, this is the time where we kind of speak things out from the word of God.
Well, in their defense, maybe it's too strong, right? But if you have a deep understanding of the role of the Spirit and you believe that the Spirit gives certain gifts, then you want all those gifts to be present in your congregation. Right?
Sure.
And we do believe the Spirit gives gifts, but we also aren't really looking for someone to get up and prophesy in our congregation, right? We don't really want someone to stand up on Sunday morning and start speaking in tongues. Like, none of us are looking for that. But I don't know. It'd be kind of fun if somebody did. As long as there's somebody there to interpret, that's the key.
Yeah.
Getting up there and just babbling on, that's not what Paul says tongues is all about. So,
yeah.
But that's another conversation.
Yes. All right, so that's our podcast. Where can you find more information about us?
Hey, if you loved what you heard today, you don't even have to be a prophet to know this. You can just look it up on the internet at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can find all our previous episodes, and you can leave us a comment just like our friend Annette did. She commented on both of our election episodes, saying how much she appreciated our input and our thoughts on that, and just a chance to reflect on the whole situation that's been going on in our country. So Annette, thank you for your comments, and if you have something you want us to know that you liked or didn't liked, or if you have a prophecy that you say, hey, I have a word from God about the future of Beyond Sunday, we'd like to hear that too. So you can send all those either at our website or, of course, at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, thank you, Annette. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.